I just want to share tonight from James. If there's a slide to pull up, I'd like to have a slide in the background. We'll pray before we do. Are you a fountain or a drain? That's what I want to share tonight. Are you a fountain or a drain? Because when I read the Word of God, it tells me to be a fountain, the sort of person that you like to be near, rather than a drain, the sort of person who you may not like to be near. I want to share something, an amazing testimony first. This is incredible. This is kingdom principles. About 10 years ago, 9, 8 years ago, we had a thing here called Community Cafe. Who remembers Community Cafe? Some of you do. Now, Community Cafe is something we did, and it had a measure of success, but after a while, it petered off. And it was brilliant, and we couldn't get it going again. And I think part of the reason why we couldn't get it going was because there's lots of new coffee shops in town. And part of the reason, also, we're quite a way away. I think whenever we've tried to do something outreach down here, particularly at times like Christmas, it's always been quite difficult because we're way down. Some things work and some things don't. So the Baptist Church are doing a thing called Community Cafe. Now, Roger and Pat Bellis, Roger's not very well today, they have an Alpha DVD that they used to do, which Weller Christian Center are borrowing. So to cut a long story short, I had to pick it up from Roger, and they were at the Community Cafe at the Baptist Church. I thought, I'll go and see what this community... See, because I could think, Community Cafe, we invented that. I'm not going down there. But I thought, no, I'll humble myself and go down there. And I walked in, it's packed out, right? Now, how do you deal with that in your heart? I'm thinking, God bless them. And before I walked in, I thought, God bless this. I pray that it gets bigger than anything you ever do. Lord, that anything we've ever done, we pray, bless it. We'll forget our Community Cafe. I want to promote this Community Cafe. I walked inside, chatted to Roger and Pat Bellis, got what I needed to get off them. And I walked over, and Sheila Kaplan, some of you know Sheila Kaplan, was standing by the coffee thing. She was helping. She goes to that church. And she said, hello, Pastor. She always calls me Pastor, out of respect, which is really nice. And she said, do you remember when you prayed for me on the street, however many months ago it was, I was walking past, I was completely healed. I didn't tell you, but I was instantly healed, and I felt the heat from the Holy Spirit. See, what happens when you humble yourself? God opens up passageways. And I told her about my heart thing. I said, I believe that God will heal me completely within 1 year. She said, I feel that inside, and I want to pray for you to be healed within 1 year. And she's ministering to me, the actual people were watching in the Baptist church. She was praying like anything. Now, I just think sometimes when we humble ourselves, because I think the glory is on the floor, you know. It's just down there somewhere. And if we just get down there to where God reminds us that we need to be aware of our position. A position in Him is high, of course it is, but beware of where we should be in front of Him. He lets things happen. And I thought, wow, incredible. You know, so I was amazed at how you know, in a fountain or a drain. I mean, I think Sheila is a fountain, you know, to always been a fountain, and her mother was actually. The bizarre thing is that when we started the original Community Cafe in 2009, her mother, Beryl, came in and prayed for me and Jackie in here on the first day, which is amazing. I think it's amazing how God does that. But I pray that God blesses that. And, you know, I know, I sense in the Spirit that God has something very big for us here. That I'm not talking about physically. We're talking about buildings and stuff. I'm not necessarily talking about that, but I'm talking about in the Spirit. You know, because, you know, God's leading me at the moment. And He's, okay, certain things have happened. And sometimes He leads you where you might not think you're going to go. But just go there anyway, because it's brilliant. It's fantastic. The best place to be is with God. We're talking Journey Through James. Last week, we looked at the fact that it was trials and temptations. So it was James 1 last week, and it was 1 to 18. Today, it's listed as hearing and doing the word, but my title is Be a Fountain, not a drain. This was not James. It's not because... Because remember, there's 12 disciples, two of them are called James. It wasn't any one of those. It was James who was a brother of Jesus. So Jesus was immaculately conceived. I was going to say concepted, but conceived. But much later on, Mary, through her natural marriage to Joseph, had other children, and the oldest one was James. James then became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. But he talks about Jesus. And he talks about himself as a servant of the Lord. But let's just read this particular passage of scripture here in James 1, 19 to 27. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves being no, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he's religious, and that basically means he's spiritual, you know, it means if you think you're close to God, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep one unstained by the world. And Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that you encourage us in it. I've already seen something absolutely incredible in this, and I pray that I can put this across to my brothers and sisters tonight in Jesus' name. At first glance, you might think that that is quite a sort of a judgmental word. Now, don't forget, the whole of the word of God is important. It's not judgmental, because there's something in here which is absolutely brilliant. So listen and to take it in first before we get I'll bring it all together. I just want to pick up a few points first, and I've got something absolutely brilliant which will really, really lift you. I mean, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to come to anger. Words are important. And a bit later on in James, I think it's chapter 3 or 4, goes into length about words, but the words that you say are very, very important. Incredibly important. In fact, if you could say to somebody, you know, it's like the other day, Ashley, we're talking about secondary school, and Ashley's going to Mountbatten Secondary School. There are reasons to do with that, not to do with the school, but rather to do with the location. So she's going there. And she said, what if I go there and you'll be disappointed in me and I don't achieve anything? What are the things a child say? And I said, I don't care what, oh, well, we do care, but I said, we'll never be disappointed in you. She went, wow. But if a bit later on she tried something, I said, I'm disappointed in you. Words like that can cut. I think it's very important how we bring our words, and the words that we say need to be words that build people up, plus words that we say to ourselves as well. You know, I stood in there with Sheila in the community cafe at the Baptist Church. I said, I believe that God is going to heal me of this thing within 1 year. What he does with somebody else, he might heal somebody else with it in 5 minutes, or he might never heal somebody else. You know, it's like what God does with different people, but I believe that's what God's telling me here. You know, there are other things I've got that God may not heal me from, but I just believe that God is saying this. And bringing the positive words in is absolutely important. If we say all the time, you know, it brings us down, but positive words are really, really important. The sermon we hear this morning was obviously talking about speaking you know, positive words, and that was important as well, and particularly relying on the word of God. But words are powerful, absolutely powerful. A pastor in a church I was at once, his wife began to play violin in the worship band. And this is no one here, or no one, actually it was in the Channel Islands, and the keyboard player at the time said that she was no good at doing it for some reason, or said something, and she would never touched that instrument again. And she never touched it because he handled it wrongly. Our words absolutely important. And it goes on and he says, in verse 21, if God's word isn't part of my life, then nothing else will help. So God's word, this is the center. In the midst of the calamity of the sea, this is the center. And you've got to know how to read it, you know, and how, you know, you've got to know what to read, when to read, how the Holy Spirit will, and the Holy Spirit will direct you. Don't reject it. Please don't reject it. Because trust me on this one. There are a great many books by some amazing men and women over the ages. And they're great. I love this guy. I've had a meal with him twice. Gerald Coates. He's a lovely man. He's spoken here. He might be a bit maverick for some people. And there's people like him and John Glass and anyone you can think of. Good though they are, I would never ever listen to their testimony over the Word of God. The Word of God is the backbone for my life. We were on holiday in, 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 in October in the Canary Islands, and I literally stopped. God said, just read the Gospel of John again. I started to read through it, and it was like spring rain. So much new stuff was coming into my life. It was fantastic. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you, but the Word of God, get God's Word in you and allow it to sustain you and strengthen you and bring you direction. Know this. Therefore put away all filthiness, and verse 21, and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implant of Word which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the Word, and hearers only, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The Bible gives instruction. You know, for instance, it's like, I was once in a service somewhere where somebody, and it wasn't here, it was a long time ago, I can't remember where it was, where somebody brought a prophecy that says, it's not God's will for you to be perfect. And I thought, that person's a false prophet, because Matthew 5:48 says, be ye holy as I am holy. Now, I didn't go up to him and say that. I said, well, just don't rewrite the Bible, please. You know, yes, it is God's will for us to be perfect, but he does it through the Holy Spirit. The perfection doesn't buy salvation. Jesus buys salvation, but he wants us to be perfect and be holy, but not immediately. God will give us the strength to do it. So my point is here, let's know what's in the Bible and be aware of what it says on certain things. If God's word is not part of my life, and we've got this bed from IKEA for Ashley, and tried to build it in the half term. So painted the back bedroom in the first part of it. She has a massive bedroom now. It's just everything else is stuffed into the front spare room, and she has a lovely big bedroom. And this IKEA bed, I mean, if I had built a jumbo jet, it would have been quicker. It just took so long. And it's instructions. That's to lay out all the screws everywhere and work on it and work on it. And then, thank goodness, an electric screwdriver. And we got there in the end. Because I can do stuff like that quite easily if I can focus on just that. But we've got it. But I had to follow the instructions. And I want to say today that whatever journey you're on, whatever calamity you've been on, somewhere in here is the instructions. And when you read the Word of God and then you come out of that and you hear the Holy Spirit say other things to you, that is where, because you got a brick wall in front of you, some of you. You think, bang, it's all stopped here. That's it. My life's over. No, it's not. God can get you out of this mess because he's good at it and he's done it before. But just get into his word and get into hearing what his spirit says. I would say that it says here, be doers of the word as well. Be doers of the word. That means if the word says, do this. If we're following what God says through the Word, you know, I mean, this is why when I lead prayer meetings and stuff like that occasionally, I just pray for God's kingdom to come, because that's what the Bible tells me to do. Pray for God's kingdom. God, if it's your will, Lord, to do this, then let your will happen. Bless Romsey the way you want it to be done. Bless this church and direct it the way you want to be done. Be doers of the Word. And I think that when God transforms us into doers of the word, people who are just living like the New Testament tells us to live, then we'll get a fulfilled Christian life in there. Many years ago, I was at Elim Conference, and Andrew White, not Andrew White from Victory, but Andrew White, the vicar of Baghdad, was there, and he spoke on the stage, and he gave an amazing testimony. You might have been there. Were you there that year? Yeah, Pasatin, that was it. And you were there, and Paul Drury was there. And I was up there, and he said, and I was stood next to two Elim ministers, one of which I know, one of which I don't, from somewhere else in the country. And when the vicar of Baghdad had finished, one of them said to the other, I like that guy, because he's actually doing it. You know, he's actually out there on the streets doing it. And I thought, that really challenged me more than anything else, that what God is saying to me through the Holy Spirit and through the Word, we have to do, being doers of the word. Now, but the two bits I want to focus on tonight are these two words at the end, bits at the end. Verses 26 and 27. If anyone thinks he's religious, that means righteous and close to God, and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, that person is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself from being unstained by the world. Now, it talks about orphans and widows, basically because in that day and age, orphans and widows were rejected in society. If you were an orphan or a widow, you had no state. I mean, even in India now, widows are treated incredibly badly, really, really badly. And it's a stigma they have in society, and the government are trying their best to get rid of that stigma. But if you're a widow, you are cursed, and you can't be used for anything. And of course it's totally wrong, but it's one of those evil things that the devil brings in. But an orphan and a widow was, and so what this is saying is that if you are claiming to be walking with Jesus, then the visual outpouring to the man and woman on the street should be this, that you're overcoming the world slowly by God's strength, but also that the lowliest should feel it and receive it. That God's love and God's compassion for society should come through you, filter through you, and spread out to everybody else. And am I a fountain or a drain? Am I the type of person who literally displays the fountain of God's truth and God's love? What happens when an orphan or a widow, or, I mean, in our society, who would it be? A homeless person, maybe an elderly person who's very lonely. I don't know what the equivalent is. Maybe somebody of a different racial group that isn't, I don't know. But am I reflecting Christ to them? Because if I am, then I'm right where I should be. But if I'm not, then when I preach this or do that, there's no proof of my Christianity. One thing I had to understand years ago is that the proof of a relationship with God is not the spiritual gifts. That's not the proof. That's part of it. But if somebody speaks in tongues, that is no proof whatsoever that they are saved or going anywhere near heaven. I'm not saying they won't. What I'm saying is the proof is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Given to you by the Holy Spirit when you accept the free gift of salvation. So if you see in me love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, not necessarily all of them, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and then obviously there's evidence. Now, if I would say to you that if I say I am a Christian and I am not displaying love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, then it's a good chance that I'm not a Christian. I'm not a follower of Jesus. Now, I might have accepted Jesus 5 minutes ago and been the beginning of it. But when God's word, which one's important again? A book written by a man. I love this guy, but that could be any book, by the way. I respect Gerald tremendously. He spoke here twice. But I mean, if the word of God says something, then who am I to come along and say, what it really means is you're not going to do that. But actually, no. It's telling me to display the word, display the spirit, display my relationship with God as an outworking. So how does this passage challenge me to be an influencer? How does it challenge me to be a fountain and not a drain? So five things, I want to sum them up. Number one, it challenges me to speak good words to myself. That before I go outdoor, I need to benefit from what I've got. So I can stand up and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Irrespective of what happened yesterday, God can help me today. Romans 8, 1 and 2, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. I can speak God's words over me, and I can speak positive words over myself. God has forgiven me from that. God will help me to overcome this. God will help me to forgive this person. I can do this thing. Even though absolutely everything has fallen apart, God can make things new. God is here with me. I believe He can do. My life is not over. Even if I'm 110 years old and have every ailment under the sun, if I'm as long as I'm alive, God still has something good for me. It always gets me when people say, oh, I used to play guitar in the church years ago. Well, why don't you now? I'm not stopping you. Or play piano. I used to preach, or I used to do this. Well, we'll give you the right to say that when you got to a certain age, you wanted to stop. If you want to do anything, do it. I would have no problem with anyone in this room preaching. If you've got something to share, anyone in the church within, obviously, reason, we need to, but certainly ministering. And I think, We can do it through God's word. The first thing, so I can speak good, it challenges me to speak God's good words over myself. Number two, it challenges me to speak good words over other people. Good words over other people. Because when you speak good words over other people and you bless them and you lift them up, and just imagine this for a moment. All these things we're wanting for ourselves, imagine if we just put them aside, all of them, and just live for the good of other people, prayed for other people. And if we just, without even letting anyone know, we're praying and praying and praying and praying. Even if that other person gets the glory, praying for their good, praying for the things that they want, as long as they're in line with God's will, praying for God to bless them. Freedom Church, Hannah Shepherd, who is she was a youth leader, she's now some administration person, and she's having a baby at the moment, or very close to, so been out of touch. But she, the churches together in Romsey have put together a half-page Easter advert to go in the paper, it talks about what's happening in the various churches. And Freedom did it at the very last minute, and Hannah designed it in her sort of way. She also put a very good a Christian comment in the Romsey Advertiser, if some of you saw that. Do you see it? Really good. And it talks about the gospel, getting saved. I got saved and salvation's important. So I thought I'd text her, because I know that once you put your head above the parapet, and also with the Easter half page, she's going to have people saying, oh, it's rubbish. So I thought, I will send her a text from Dave and Jackie, because if I'm sending it to another woman as outside the church, I'll put Jackie's name in it as well. It just gives it a bit of balance. So Dave and Jackie, Elim, Hannah, what you put in the advert that you've designed, which they've showed the ministers and which will go in the paper at some point, and your Christian comment were absolutely brilliant, fantastic, well done, God bless you, Dave and Jackie. And she sent one back saying, I thank you, I really, really needed that. You know, it's just good words that we say over other people. And James is talking about here, what is coming out of your mouth? You know, good words. Do you know what? It's just incredible. Every time, because we've got a skybox, it's a sky free view, and we didn't pay for it, we did it years ago. It's when the subscription went out, you were allowed to keep it. So we've got something like 12 or 13 or 14 Christian channels on there. Now, every time I watch a preacher who might be the type of preacher, oh, that's prosperity gospel, oh, that's too American or this. Every time I think, no, I want to watch a bit of that, God blesses me. And I think, isn't that amazing that when, you see, if we reject absolutely everybody, God's never going to bless us. But every time I watch something from another ministry, and it might not be somebody that I totally agree with 100%, but God always blesses me. So if we speak good words over other people, you know, when Jackie has her haircut, I say, oh, your hair looks really nice. Well, you're not supposed to say that. You can't say that. Well, I do. So your hair looks really nice. Wow, you know, and all the wives sitting there thinking, why doesn't my husband know? But that's by the by. But I'm not preaching that from the Word of God. I'm simply saying good things about other people, what they do, because it's being a fountain of drink. Number three, this passage of scripture challenges me to avoid speaking negative words. Full stop. It challenges me to avoid speaking negative words over other people and over myself. Oh, we'll never do this. We'll never get there. This outreach won't work. Oh, the Baptist, that cafe, it'll never work. Ours fell apart. You know, we didn't fall apart. We stopped it. But it'll never work. And this will never work. And that, you know, but if you think, well, actually, you know, whatever hasn't happened in the past, let's speak positive words over people, not negative words. Because when we speak negative, positive words, I believe our words have influence. They just do. They somehow, you know, I think it's a biblical thing, but our words have influence. It challenges me also to avoid contamination by the world. Allowing ourselves to be contaminated by the world, it says here, complete, keep yourself being unstained by the world, verse 27. Because if we allow the world to stain us, then we're listening to what the devil says and not what God says. What is God saying in the middle of this? Because the world or this group or that agency or that that political party or that channel might say this. But what is God saying? And so the world and the people around us and the feelings of society bring in, you know, words of contamination. What amazes me, and I can say this in this room, it's really incredible, is that, you know, it's like the whole LGBT thing, this whole gay thing at the moment. What's amazing is we think it's a whole worldwide thing. It's just Europe and America. I mean, South Africa and Russia have rejected the whole thing outright. Totally all rejected it outright. And they're not even godly. They said, well, I don't want any of it. I mean, you get secular people in Russia who are not even Christians rejecting the whole thing because it's not right. And we think we've got to, at the end of the day, we've got to love people. We've got to love people, absolutely. And we've got to challenge all sin in ourselves and other people. But we don't need to be dragged along by what man is saying. Let's see what God is saying and then become a fountain to everybody. So it challenged me to avoid being contamination by the world. And finally, number five, it challenges me to influence the lowliest people. The lowliest people, I love it when you have these, you know, young people on the stage in the morning and they're sort of leading worship and stuff, and there's a group of them again today. And I always go up to them at the end and say, thank you for doing that. I could sit back and say, oh, it's not, didn't play my favourite hymn, I'm not coming here again. You know, but I thought, no, I'll bless them and say, thank you, you know, thank you, Sean, thank you, Isaac, thank you. Because all of those young people have got challenges in their lives, some degree, maybe family or school or physical. And I think, well, no, thank you for what you did. That's really, really good. It challenges me to influence the lowliest. Romans 12, 9 to 21 says this, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honour. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in the spirit. Serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honourable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but be overcome evil with God, with good. That's Romans 12. Romans 12 is a discipleship course. If you want a discipleship course, 1 Thessalonians 5 or Romans 12, just read them. There's your discipleship course. And say, God, what's your will for my life? Well, that's God's will for my life. You know, don't become overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. Bless your enemies. It's there. And so my final one there is, it challenges me to influence the lowliest. I can influence the lowliest people in the world, irrespective of the fact that I, you know, what I shared last week about, you know, other people, God has blessed other people to do greater things than me and to run past me. But I'll be where I am. It doesn't matter what he does with them. It doesn't matter if he heals this person in 2 years, 1 year, or 5 minutes flat. It doesn't matter what God does here. I'm where I am, with God's help, need to influence the lowly. Before the Trust of Trust and the Romsey Food Bank were in, Denise and Phil took over running that, many years ago we had the tin bin here, or some forerunner of it, and I just used to take it down to Scratch in Southampton or whatever, and there was a food bank place, you know where Bitton Park Triangle is, the old chemist there, the Scratch had an office there, and so one week I had to take the stuff down to Southampton and all the tins. And I remember going down there and I walked into the old chemist. God hit me. You see, because I saw God in there, in poor people who were queuing up in shame, waiting to see the food bank team. And just see people sat there, you know, on their own and with carry bags full of stuff. And I thought, and God said to me, these are my people. These are the people I love. You get with what's going on here, you know. Not that, not not be part of it, but understand that God loves the lowly, that he loves the orphans and the widows and the poor, and that when we're there, God does something. And everything, and what James is saying here is that as Christians, we need to be people who look at those and see what God wants to do. It's incredible when God moves. I've got an amazing story about Gerald Coates. It's a brilliant story. It's beautiful. You'll love it. Right, this is absolutely classic. I was going to tell Peter Light. And then we'll sum this up and we'll pray and we'll have a bit more worship. Sorry, I've gone a bit night tonight, but God's really exciting me at the moment. I'm telling you now, it really is. When the new churches, the Charismatic Renewal, were coming up for the 60s and 70s and everything, and Gerald Coates and Terry Virgo and all these people, it was all happening, hadn't it? Elim at the time were a bit suspicious of it all. Great, you know, but for some slightly good reasons and bad reasons. So it was all decided that in 1990, Gerald Coates and Wyn Lewis, the then head of Elim, were going to meet at the London Hotel at the very top, London Hilton Hotel on Park Lane. So they met. Wyn Lewis was there, and Gerald Coates was there, and they met. And it was quite frosty. They were talking about all kinds of things, and I don't think Arthur Wallace was there, I'm not quite sure, but Wyn Lewis said to Gerald Coates, he said, look, God's doing something for you, great, but obviously there's a, whenever these new churches prop up, you're taking people from Elim churches. It was a bit frosty, and they finished, and they went away. A few years later, they met again, and they were just absolutely in love with people. In love with each other, because they've both been zapped by the Holy Spirit. And apparently, Wyn Lewis was falling all over the place, laughing, and Gerald Coates was as well. God had done something. And I think places like Toronto and other places might have had a positive effect on them, but the Holy Spirit did something through them both. And as a result of both of them opening themselves up to the warmth of the gospel, the fountain of God came into them, took the frost away. And then Wyn Lewis and John Glass after him, and I mean Gerald Coates was just a ceremonial figurehead of the Charismatic Renewal. There's other people as well, but I want to say this: that God has the answer. He can bring the fountain of the Holy Spirit in. But what James is saying here, and I want to just read the whole text again to finish, and then we'll pray, is simply this: he's saying that there is. That if we say, Lord, your word is precious, Lord, your will for me is precious, that we don't seek vengeance, that we don't seek to hurt people, that we seek to speak words that are uplifting and life-giving. You know, one of the things I like to do on Facebook, those of you who follow me on Facebook know that I put stuff up there which is Christian and positive and upbuilding and stuff, because I like to do it. You know, I've got lots of friends on there who are backslidden and people that were young, in my young people's group in Guernsey and Derby from years ago, who had fallen away, and they all say, thank you for putting that. You know, one person who was in one of our youth groups, I think he was now in her early 40s, you know, and she's following the Lord, but she hadn't been for a while, and she's saying, oh, thank you, Dave and Jackie. You know, But just putting positive words out there, put God's positive out there. Even though you might think yourself, oh, it's all falling apart, putting God's positive in there. I'll read that passage of scripture again, and then we'll close in prayer. And if the worship band can just come back, if that's all right. Because God's word's lovely, isn't it? It's great to listen to. James 1, 19 to 27. This is the brother of Jesus Christ. I mean, a letter inspired by the Holy Spirit to us. James 1, 19, 27. I mean, surely if Jesus' brother can't influence us, then who else can? I mean, just have it again. Just that passage of scripture and I'll pray. Know this, my beloved brothers, every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he himself looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Anyone thinks he's religious and not doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself from being unstained by the world. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. Your word is fantastic, Lord. Lord, we need it. And some of us in this room have only got your word. Some of my brothers and sisters here, Lord, are facing all kinds of calamities. Lord, I thank you for the fact that this time last week I prayed for certain things that you've worked out this week. We believe that you're able to do that. But Lord, may we be fountains. May we be people that people will look at us. And Lord, sometimes some of us are physically worn out sometimes, or we just think that spiritually we're not good enough. But Lord, turn us into fountains, Lord. Thank you for this instruction. Lord Jesus, from your earthly biological brother, thank you, Lord. But Lord, we pray, Lord, that you can help us to speak words of life to other people. Speak words of life to ourselves. If any negative words have been said over the Lord, that we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you can break them off. In Jesus' name.